1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, "Ignorance is no excuse, part two." Father, I thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would lead all of us, Lord, to understanding what it is that you're trying to communicate to us. When Paul said, "Hey, don't be ignorant about this subject. It's so important." God, I pray that you would help us to understand that today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I really have the urge more and more to just talk to you instead of preach to you. I've always, from the very early days, and I got into ministry, which is 34 years ago now, I always had this sense I didn't want to preach at people or talk at people. I wanted to talk to people. I hope you can feel the difference. But this is one that I really kind of want to just talk to you today. When Paul writes, "I don't want you to be ignorant about the Holy Spirit," what does that say to you? I mean, does that strike you as like, "Oh, this is pretty significant"? Folks, you know what? You can be, do you know the Bible talks about baptism for the dead? It does. You know what? I don't care if you're ignorant about that. Because, to be honest with you, I am. I don't really understand baptism for the dead, all right? There are things like that. There are a lot of obscure topics, things in the Bible that they're valid, they're important, all that, but they're a little obscure. That, you know, they're not going to affect your everyday life living for the Lord, serving the Lord. But the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, affects us every day, every minute of every day. It'd be really good if we understood more about it. And we can never understand too much. I mean, like I you've heard me say, and I'm being a little bit more generous these days. I've always said that I think that even the smartest, most wise, well-studied, well-reasoned Christian theologian, whatever, maybe the best of us have about 15% of this figured out. I mean, we just really, I'm going to bump that up to 20% now, because I think I'm at 15%, and I'm not the greatest theologian, okay? So all that to say is, like, there's a lot we really don't know. But when the Bible tells me, "Hey, this is one area you really shouldn't have too much ignorance on," that tells me, oh, this might be a really important, maybe elevated something I should know about. And so when God tells us, "I don't want you to be ignorant," I figure I probably should put some effort. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here, but let's face it, the Christian church in this country is pretty ignorant about Holy Spirit, okay? So he tells us, don't be ignorant. I'm going to try to do a real quick review of where I was at, because it's been 2 weeks. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy." That's something that makes people really uncomfortable. What if you went up to somebody that you knew and God was laying something on your heart to share with them, and you said to them, "I believe God has a prophetic word for you that I'd like to share with you." What do you think their reaction would be to you? They'd think, "Ooh, who's this nut job?" Right? It says right here, follow the way. In fact, I would associate this, it is a loving thing to do, to give a prophetic word to somebody. If God is laying it on your heart, the loving thing to do is, you know what? Share it with them. Now, maybe God wants to bless you, but it also might be repent. Both are loving messages, because that's what God wants us to do. Follow the way of love eagerly. How many of you eagerly desire the spiritual gifts? I'm not going to point any fingers at anybody, but a lot of you don't. Because you're like, "Man, that's weird, and I don't want it." You know what? it's weird. No, I won't go there. We heard the word weird a lot in the last presidential campaign, which was completely bogus. But anyway, there was one weird candidate in that race. But people think it's weird. Like we just talked about, prophecy. You know, there's one that's even weirder than prophecy. You know what it is? Tongues. Tongues and interpretation, right? I got a question for you. If God is the one who designed it, and God says we should not be ignorant about it, and that we should eagerly desire it, who's the weird one? The one who wants it or the one who doesn't? Doesn't. Because God makes the rules. I hope you're here this morning because you believe God makes the rules. There's a lot of things that people label as weird that, I remember this when we were, I know I talk about, I've mentioned this from time to time, but other than me, have any of you ever heard of the Toronto Blessing? Okay, the Toronto Blessing started in like 1994, 95 at a Vineyard Church in Toronto, Canada, where the Holy Spirit one night showed up. I mean, like in biblical proportion, all right? People started coming from all over the world. I mean, we went a couple of times when there were people there literally from 30 different nations there, all gathered together. And you could feel the heavens moving. It was unbelievable. But there's a lot of weird manifestations that took place, physical manifestations as God's Spirit moved. And people were very uncomfortable, and the critics of it would be like, oh, well, the Bible says everything's supposed to be done decently and in order. Well, I got a question for you. If when that person who's doing something that you think is weird, when they're done having that weird manifestation, when God has met their need and healed them and caused them to fall greater, more and more in love with Him and have a passion for His Word and a desire to share the gospel with more people, when it's all said and done, that weird physical manifestation, but it accomplished what God wants it to accomplish, do you think it was neatly in an order? I'd say it was, because you know why? It accomplished what God wanted it to accomplish. So it may look weird to you, but it wasn't weird to Him. It did exactly what He wanted it to do. Don't be ignorant. Eagerly desire. First Corinthians 4:20, you guys probably get tired of hearing this one. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. If we lack the power of God, which comes to us, Acts 1:8 says, by the Holy Spirit, now you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. If we lack the power of God, then what are we doing? Because the kingdom of God isn't about talk. It's not about what I'm doing up here right now. I'm gonna jump ahead some. I think I've got my point. So we see in Acts 1:8, as I just mentioned, that the primary way, let's face it, most of us aren't, as I said last week or 2 weeks ago, we aren't gonna go out and stand on the street corner and preach the gospel, right? But hopefully, just living our lives, people can see Christ in us. They can see that we are followers of Jesus. So the way that we live is very important. The number one thing that is going to cause people to see Christ in us is the power of Holy Spirit. Because Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So it's a Holy Spirit that empowers us, that allows us to be a witness. So if we're going to be witnesses in the way that we live our lives, just going about it every day, but we have no power, how are we going to be a witness? How are our lives going to be a witness if we lack the power of Holy Spirit? Now, power doesn't simply mean calling down lightning bolts, okay? as much as I'd like that. I wish that was one of the spiritual gifts, man. Of course, somebody might use one on me too. But anyway, as much as I, you know, that might be fun, might be interesting. When it's talking about being a witness in the power of God, it's I have the my way of understanding it. The primary purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is not to allow me to prophesy or, you know, to use my gifts of administration or whatever. The primary purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is to live a godly life. Because, folks, we are what? We are fallen. And this has been a big theme of mine in going through the whole election that we've just gone through. Our governing documents are written because our founders knew that men, all men at their core and in their heart, are evil. They all understood that we were fallen and evil, and the saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely is absolutely true. And if you give a, and that's why our governing documents are meant to restrain the power of government, because they understood how all people have evil in them and could do evil. So I need the power of Holy Spirit to live the life that God wants me to live, because I am not capable in and of myself. Not a chance. I mean, I have a tough enough time being Spirit-filled, okay? The Holy Spirit has been able to keep all the craziness that comes into my head from manifesting into my life, amen? And you should be able to, hopefully you say amen, because there's a lot of crazy stuff that comes into my head. So, the primary way we're going to be a witness is to have the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to do that. And it was no different. We shouldn't be surprised by that, because that's exactly how Jesus did it. Luke 4, 18 and 19 said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Okay, Jesus, did you just hear what I said? Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord," Holy Spirit, right, "is on me." Okay? So what does that mean? What does it allow him to do? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because it has anointed me, God's anointing on us, to preach the good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recover sight for the blind, release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That was Jesus's ministry. And he said, I'm only able to do it not because my name is Jesus, not because I was born of a virgin, not because Mary is my mother, but because the Holy Spirit is on me. That is why I can do it. I'm using my famous teaching technique this morning. I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you. And when I get done, I'll tell you what I told you. Right? Okay. So Jesus goes on in Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. So when we just read in Luke, he's anointed. What is he anointed with? The Holy Spirit and power. Because the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 1:8, brings what? Power. Power to what? Power to be a witness. I'm going to ask you to do something really weird. I want everybody to close their eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Honestly, close your eyes. Now, if you sincerely would like God to give you opportunities to be a witness for him, I want you, you don't have to be very high so the person even beside you even know it, but just kind of hold your hand up a little bit, just as a confession to God. Okay, thank you very much. We are witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on us and he gives us his power to be a witness. If we are lacking the power of God, then we are going to have a hard time being a witness. And it doesn't mean call it power to call down thunderbolts and prophesy and all that kind of stuff. It means power to live a godly life so that people can see that you are living in obedience to Jesus Christ. And that simply means when the time comes, you don't gossip, you don't talk bad about people, you don't use profane language, you're not saying a bunch of off-color stuff, you're not being critical, you're not being divisive, you have peace and joy, you know, you have the fruits of the Spirit. Just living our life. Power, folks, it takes all the power of God to manifest even half of the gifts of the Spirit in me. All right? It takes a lot. So, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it without the Holy Spirit? And with the power that we have, we need God's power to live godly lives. But it also goes beyond it. A godly wife is also very helpful. Acts 2:22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by God. Okay, so God accredited. What does that mean? God is saying, hey, Jesus, can you tell he's my man, he's my son, he's my guy, he's doing what I want him to do. But how did he accredit? How did God accredit Jesus to us? By miracles and wonders and signs. Well, that's going to take some power, I think, right? It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. So this week, that was all review. I probably am not going to get a whole, we're not going to worry about it. We're just going to talk, okay? Let's look at Romans 15:17. I'm not going to worry about how far I get. We're just going to. Romans 15:17 through verse 19. There is a lot packed into this passage of Scripture. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. This is Paul, of course, speaking. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything. So Paul's saying, I got nothing to say to you except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, and what I have said, by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have proclaimed the gospel of Christ. How did Paul proclaim the gospel of Christ? By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. Because he said what? I'm not talking about anything. I have nothing to say except what Christ has accomplished through me. And how, if Jesus accomplished what he did, how? Because the Holy Spirit was upon him. Because the Holy Spirit anointed him. If that's true for Jesus, it's true for Paul too. And if it's true for Paul, it's true for us. So, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever sat on a three-legged stool? A lot of stools have three legs, right? That's okay, right? Have you ever sat on a two-legged stool? No. Because one, they don't make them. Because they don't work. And if they did, you'd fall over. A lot of the Christians are sitting on a two-legged stool. And then people wonder why they struggle all the time. Why it's so hard to live the life that God wants us to. Barb Dahl made the comment this morning in Sunday school. You have to be proactive to live according to God's word. It doesn't just happen. You have to be purposeful about it. And to not be ignorant and to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, those are proactive statements. I'm very simple. Maybe that means unintelligent. It's funny how we use words. Simple, unintelligent. Yesterday I was watching a football game, and one of the announcers, the receiver, pushes off the defender and catches the ball. That's the offensive pass interference. The announcer says, oh, that receiver had a lot of separation. I'm like, yeah, the other word for that is push off. Okay? It's called offensive pass interference. So, you know, it's funny how we use words. I don't know enough to know anything other than just read what it says and go, oh, that's what it says. That must be what it means. Paul said, I don't have anything to say to you about what Christ has done, you know, accomplished through me. So let me ask you this. If Paul, again, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just challenging us, myself included. If Paul has nothing to talk about except what Christ has accomplished through him, what if Christ hasn't accomplished anything through you? What does that mean? It means you have nothing to talk about. Maybe the only thing that you can say is, he saved me, and by the Holy Spirit, he empowers me enough not to live the way I used to. Maybe that's it. But you know what? That's not bad. If you can honestly say, I am a different person, and the Holy Spirit empowers me to where I no longer live the life that I used to live. And if I am tempted, I'm able to overcome it because God's Spirit lives in me. That's not a bad thing to say. You might not say, well, I've done miracles and signs and wonders and all that. But at least you can say, because I eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, because I am anointed, because I have received the power that God gives me, the Holy Spirit, I at least have the power to continue to daily obediently follow him. And because of that, my life is so much better. Maybe you'd like to find out more about that. I don't. But if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working through you in any way, then what are we going to say? Now, if you get to the place where you're doing miracles and signs and wonders, please call me. That'd be awesome. I'm not saying we shouldn't strive for that. In fact, I'd say we should. Judy told me one time that she was praying, oh God, please use me. I mean, I want to be able to use to heal people and I want to even want to raise the dead and all that. And she said, the Holy Spirit asked her just like that, oh, well, how many dead people have you prayed for? Of course, the answer was none. And if you pray for no dead people, guess how many are going to be raised? None. It doesn't, but I don't apply that just to, I mean, it just means pray. Ever since then, if you share something with my wife that has a need, there's a real likelihood she's going to tell you before you say goodbye or whatever, let's pray. Because God isn't going to answer the prayer that's never prayed, amen? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said he prayed how long? 19 years, every single morning for 19 years. And after 19 years, God said, oh, you're the head of Health and Human Services, which means you're the head over all those, you know, the FDA and the CDC and all the NIH and all those people fall under him. That's amazing. But as Donald Trump said, Bobby, leave your hands off the oil. Because he's a little bit weird on the environment. Matthew, let me go on. So Jesus now, he's going to instruct his disciples how they should go and witness for him. Mark 16, starting in verse 15. Mark 16, 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. And the Lord Jesus, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accomplished it. Okay, so immediately I've just lost, if I were to preach this message to all the Christians in this country, I've just immediately lost half of them that just said, no, thank you. I can't say, I'm not too big on the handling snakes myself, all right? Okay, I've never really understood that one. I think it's biblical that you should not like snakes, right? Given the whole Adam and Eve thing. In fact, if I read it right, we're supposed to crush his head. I'm down with that. But even the weird things, the speaking in new tongues, you know, people think that that's strange, even though we read it in the Bible. Okay, so again, what are you going to label as weird? But here's the part that people, when I read this passage, the biggest, most important, the heaviest, the most significant, however I want to word it, the thing that you read in this, that Jesus is saying? People tend to focus in on what? The new tongues, handling snakes, drinking poison, right? That's not the most important part of this passage. It's preach the gospel. Am I wrong? That's the most important thing. When we preach the gospel, then God will do these other things. But our problem is, maybe we don't ever see these other things done because we're never willing to really share the gospel that much. You understand that when I preach this sermon, I'm accusing myself. It's not like I'm standing up here. Well, I really don't want to handle snakes, but if you brought me poison, I probably wouldn't drink it. I do speak in tongues. But I'm not going to put on a show. There are certain people in here that are open enough. They're open and receptive. If I prayed for them, the Holy Spirit would certainly fall on them. Hug him. But I'm not going to put on a show. So I feel, and I don't go around healing people and raising the dead. Although I have prayed for people and they've been healed. I have prayed for people who've been demon-possessed and they've been delivered. But I don't mean to make this sound accusatory, but the primary reason that you came to church this morning is because, one, you know it's good. You want to worship God and acknowledge his presence in your life. You want to be around your brothers and sisters. And you're wondering if Randy's going to preach a good sermon today. Well, what have you learned? I'm saying is, we come to church, do we come to church with the intent of putting into practice these kind of things that we read? Or do we come with the intent of, I went to church, Randy preached, I got some nice compliments about tying veterans and some disciples together last week. And I appreciate that. Here's the thing, Judy always tells me, because if you never, I said, talking about, I really bomb or whatever, I just did a lousy job. So she goes, you never do. I said, yeah, I do. Because I know, it doesn't matter what anybody else, I know what I should or could have done with that message. And when I don't, even if people don't hear it as a lousy message, I know it was a lousy message. Because I know I didn't do with it what I could or should have. But I appreciate the kind words. On the other hand, I know that one week they'll say, oh, that was really good. And the next week they'll say, man, Randy has stunk that week. So, hey, people are fickle, right? just as fast as we get built up, we get torn right back down. And maybe that's not a bad thing. But my point in all this is, what do we come here to do? If we're told that the gifts of Spirit is given so that the body of Christ is built up, when the body of Christ comes together, then you should be looking to somehow, some way, use the Holy Spirit to build this body up in the people around you. I mean, it could just be as simple as, like, you know, how you doing? Giving somebody a hug. You know, what's going on in your life? You know, can you pray for you? It's like, I mean, any, you know, whatever. But something. You should be making some contact with the other people here. Am I talking to you too much? I wish you'd just preach instead of talking to me. I feel like I've been preaching a long time. Have I been preaching a long time? I expect the clock to be later. Huh? Did I get started early? Well, other than 34 years. No, I mean this morning. You haven't changed a bit since I had you as a freshman and as a substitute teacher, have you? I had Chris as a substitute teacher. I had Courtney as a substitute teacher. I horrified her. Don't ask. You had no idea, did you, at the time? There's so many. I'm trying to cut down on what I'm, you know, because I have so much scripture. That's another clue. There's a lot of scripture dealing with the Holy Spirit, and I got a lot. But when there's a lot of something, then it might be important in the Bible, right? Paul wrote half the New Testament. His two main topics are grace and faith. But easily the third most frequent thing he writes about is gifts of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. And with that being like his top three things that he writes about in his half of the New Testament, he writes about the gifts and speaking in tongues and says, you know what he says about tongues? Do you want me to preach? There are people in here that would probably like me to teach on tongues, and there are people sitting out here this morning who's like, please, oh God, please, if you've ever answered one of my prayers, don't let me preach on tongues. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant. You know what he says then about tongues? I wish that you all spoke in tongues. All. Can we talk about baptism for the dead? Matthew 10:7-8 says, as you go, preach this message. He's telling his disciples, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. How many of you would like to have the kingdom of heaven near? Well, he tells us what shows us the kingdom of heaven is near. The power to heal the sick. Where does that power come from? Spiritual gift of healing, right? Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Those things. That means, in other words, God's kingdom is touching this fallen physical world. And because God is at work in this fallen physical world, then these things that are broken are being fixed, are being healed. So you see sick people being healed, dead people being raised, demonic people being cleansed. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is here. It's not there. It's not out there distance. It's when it touches us. The Holy Spirit is the method that God has given us to cause his kingdom to touch this fallen world and people's fallen lives. That's why it's so important. That's why God doesn't want us to be ignorant. That's why he wants us to eagerly desire it. because it's how God, if you believe God wants to impact this world, then you have to believe in Holy Spirit, because that's how he does it, period. God's on the throne, Jesus is at his right hand. What we got left is Holy Spirit. If the kingdom of God is going to be near, and if you believe God is really going to impact this world, there is only one way to do it, and it's the third leg of the stool, the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? Okay. I'm really tempted to have that picture put up on the screen. Rowan's picture from yesterday. Was that yesterday or the day before? It was classic. If she'll show it to you. But. Sure. This is Cody's mom that we... Is it casted? Is it set? Is it? So they have you come back and then. Okay. No. Is there anything she's... I'm almost done. No, it's fine. Is there anything that she specifically needs? The prayer? Okay. Well, let's pray for her, and then I'll close. Father, we come this morning, and Lord, we all agree together. In your name... And Holy Spirit, that you would touch her. God, I pray for a supernatural healing in her leg. God, that bone, that tibia, would be mended back together. I pray, God, the pain that she's suffering would be gone. Lord, I pray, go before her. This is just one more thing. The enemy just continues to attack and attack, and it sure is what he does. When he's got you down, he's going to keep you down. He's going to kick you again. So, Lord, I pray right now, and I plead the blood of Jesus over Angela, her family, her home, that there's no more attacks of the enemy. He cannot succeed. God, I pray that, again, that you would just touch her. Lord, help us. If there's anything we can do, Lord, let us know that we can help her. But in the name of Jesus, we just now pray that she's healed, and God, her needs are met. Amen. Amen. So, as I said, that is... And I don't know how I'm going to do this next week, because this is good. I'm enjoying this, but I'm skipping a lot of notes when you're saying thank you, Jesus. So, I'm going to close with this. Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. It says, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to those who heard him. God also testifies to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So the Holy Spirit and his gifts are one of the ways that he confirms to us the message of the gospel. So if we're not willing to accept, acknowledge, participate, don't be ignorant of, then we're going to have a hard time fully grasping the gospel, because it just told us right there. It's one of the ways God has confirmed the gospel message to us, by signs and wonders and the gifts of the Spirit. Believe me, if you've ever operated in a supernatural gifting of the Holy Spirit, you'll know you're saved. You'll know the gospel is true. But without it, you're always going to go, I theologically, philosophically, you know, this debate going on with others or inside yourself. But when you've operated in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know there's a God, you know Jesus went to the cross for you, and you know he loves you and he saved you. And that's the best testimony you can get, amen. Concerning spiritual gifts, don't be ignorant.